So, Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Let me start by thanking all of you who are switched on, who have switched on the Mayapur TV and are with us today. It's a very interesting lecture. I was at least very inspired when I prepared for it. It's about a question. Why is Haridas Thakur nominated to be the Acharya of chanting the holy name? Why exactly? Why is he? Oops, sorry, the Namacharya. That is what we will discuss today. I'm very thankful also for the devotees who came here. Mostly they are devotees who live in Germany, but also our loyal, faithful couple from Poland is today again with us, Ananga Manjani and Jai Ram. You know, you will all see this when you get old. You get these embarrassing letters by Yamaraj. And one is that your memory fails you in the most simple things. The last time I noticed it, I was chanting before with 6,000 devotees the Tulasi prayers. And I know the Tulasi prayers. I appreciate them. I love them. I know the translation of each line. But in that circumstance, my mind went blank. I didn't know any sentence any longer. Everyone thought, this sannyasi has not even learned the ABC of Krishna consciousness. I apologized to the devotees and said, you will all come in the same situation when your memory starts to fail you. Hare Krishna. Yes, so let us start. Jai Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. And Hare Krishna Madhavi, welcome to for your Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vidya. Jaya Radha Madhava, Dunya Vidya Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Dunya Vidya Hari. Gopijana Vallabha Giri Vallabha. Yeah. So Hare Krishna, once again, welcome everyone to this wonderful evening of Krishna Katha. We hear in the scriptures that talk about God is only complete talk about Krishna is only complete when we talk also about his devotees. It is in the heart of the devotees where the unfallable and invisible Lord has left clear footsteps which serve as traces, spuren, that if we follow them, we will find him. That's a great secret which I think our tradition has. It's sometimes difficult to see the Lord directly, but it is easy to see those whose life has been touched by them. And when we come in touch with these devotees, then very often a pure love of Krishna is given to us, even if we have no other qualifications than just coming in contact with the devotees. And it is through the eyes of love only that we can see Krishna. You can see Krishna through the eyes of, you can see material objects through your material eyes, but Krishna can be seen only through eyes which have been opened by divine love. And coming in contact with those who have this love is enough, or opens our minds. When you come in contact with a Kanishta Adhikari, that means a devotee who is still, let me say, dependent on his material senses, who is a neophyte, who is not yet so realized, who often judges others, who often is envious of the progress of other devotees. If you come in contact with a Kanishta Adhikari, at that time your own curiosity, your inquisitiveness, your interest can be born. Oh, if you are talking about Krishna, that may sound interesting. But you cannot go beyond curiosity in this context. If you come in contact with a Madhyam Adhikari, who is somewhat fixed in the process of Krishna consciousness, you develop genuine faith in the process which he has taken to get where he is. I think it's very easy to understand when we see someone who is very healthy, who has a lot of muscles, we ask him, how did you become so healthy and develop such a good, let me say, useful body? And then he would say, I do this, I eat this, and I do this sport. And you think, oh, let me also try. So when you come in contact with a Madhyam Adhikari, a devotee of Krishna, who has already some realizations, you ask, what's the process? And you get faith in the process. But if you meet a pure devotee like Thakur Haridas, my dear devotees, even if you have not yet started the process of bhakti, pure love of Krishna can be given to you. And this is what we will talk about, amongst other subjects, this evening. Now, let us start our program in seriousness. Please join me one moment.
Thank you.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his appearance in this world, he was very well aware that the people, the general mass of people in the age of Kali, are not very qualified for great spiritual practices. So he focused his attention in spreading love of Krishna on the process of chanting the holy name. Once to Sanatana Goswami, he said, Tara Matya Sarva Shrestha Nama Sankirtan. He said, of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did here is something which only a great an avatar of God can do. There are 9 classical forms of devotional service. This is starting with hearing and chanting and meditating, worshipping. 9 processes which have the ability to give the adherent Krishna, ecstatic love of Krishna. But he said, in the age of Kali, it's most important to always chant the holy name of the Lord. He did not say forget all the other 9 processes, but he said it's enough, it's sufficient if you can chant always the holy name. He said only there must be there's one condition. You have to avoid the 10 kinds of offenses. He is reported to have said, I asked only 2 things of you. Do never criticize any Vaishnava and chant the holy name always. Then I personally will come and give you pure love of Krishna. I will give you this ecstatic love. This is a very simple, in other words. You must avoid something which is the 10 offenses, which seem to, in Mahaprabhu's eyes, take residence in this one where you hurt other devotees or offend them. Yeah, avoid that. Serve the Vaishnavas. That is better. And then, supply something that they can grow. Don't criticize them. That destroys them. Give something that they can grow. Huh? That is better. And then, if you chant, I will give you Prema Dhana, the most important gift, which is the divine gift. Because Namacharya Haridas comes from an Islamic culture, I want to give a hadith today about this divine gift, which is seen in all traditions, there, this hadith means ein Sprichwort, a saying. It says, what no eye has ever seen, what no ear has ever heard, what no mind has ever thought, have I prepared for my righteous servants. No? The divine gift, in other words, which is here prema dhana. Dhana means gift. The most ecstatic love, divine love, is so wonderful that we have not seen this in this world. We have not heard it. We are not able to think and understand it by our thoughts. But Krishna has, oops, prepared it for us.
And when you have a good friend,
and you know he will come to you, you might prepare a gift, you might wrap it up, you might bind it, you might, and then it is presented to you. So this is the divine gift of divine love, no? which comes very simple to you, which is given to you by Gauranga Mahaprabhu in this age, if you chant the holy name, avoiding the 10 offenses. Now, for this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked one leader, one ideal figure, one ideal example, and one ideal teacher. He was Haridas. Haridas was born in a Muslim family, and somehow or other he met a great saint in his village who influenced him greatly, and he took up, when he was very young, the chanting of the holy name with enthusiasm. He became such a chanter in his life that he became the leader of Mahaprabhu's process. Once Sanatana Goswami met him and he said something. He said, "Tumi Jagatera Arya, you are the most advanced devotee within this world, and you, Sarva Guru, you are everyone's spiritual master." And Sanatana gave a reason. He had observed Haridas Thakur. He said, "You know, some behave very well, but do not preach Krishna consciousness. Whereas others preach, but do not behave properly. You, however, Haridas, simultaneously perform both duties in relationship to the holy name. By your personal behavior, you are excellent, and by your preaching, you are excellent. Therefore, this is my conclusion, you are the spiritual master of the entire world, for you are the most advanced devotee in this world." Let us stop a little bit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expects from his devotees two things. They should go deep into Krishna consciousness themselves, and they should spread Krishna consciousness. Why is so much emphasis put on spreading Krishna consciousness, on preaching, on sharing? Well, you must know, as a spiritualist, you can go into a big trap that is self-absorption. You're always thinking about your own self and your own advancement and your own little pains and your own little worries. But it is good to realize you are not so important to the universe and to the world. You shouldn't take yourself overly serious and be absorbed. So this egoism, or ego, this function of the ego, just separating ourselves, that's what the ego does, from what all that is, and painting a little story, putting us in a box, can be effectively broken. You can effectively go out of this when you have compassion for all beings. I saw this yesterday. I had a difficult problem to solve yesterday, and it was concerning my life, and I had a few hours on this, and then came my time where I went on the internet and had an online symposium with a very nice scientist, really nice professor, who teaches many, many, very high posted, he has a few doctor titles. And it was about the subject matter, is transformation at all possible? And he brought new scientific discovery from a subject, epigenetics, it's called, which, according to his definition, says that they have found out that certain influences which come from outside and from your own thinking help, that from the vast information of the which is there in the genetic codex and which cannot be used by one human being, certain informations are picked and others are not picked. In other words, yes, by certain methods and influences it is possible to help you go in one direction and avoid another direction in your life. So it was a very stimulating discussion. I was really fired up, and we have decided that we must meet in person. He also liked Krishna consciousness very much and took things also very personally. And when this was over, it was a two hours all in all, I felt, oh, the problem I have is so small. It was very big before, now it had been small, because I had a different perspective on it. This happens when you are getting out of your world by the wonderful quality called compassion or daya. It's the most important dharma for the Vaishnavas. But those who don't do this, who don't share Krishna consciousness, who don't preach, run the risk of remaining absorbed in their own little world and being totally under the control of the mind and and its unrelevant stories. It always happens to everyone, and I want to request and encourage you to think, what can you do tomorrow to share your Krishna consciousness with others? What can you practically do? There are many things. It is sometimes as easy as to sit down and write a letter to a dear friend with good insights. It is possible for everyone, even the shy amongst us, to do this. This is a divine command. It's agya. The agya means a divine command. There's another word, I forgot. Something agya, the divine command of Mahaprabhu. You should go deep in your Krishna consciousness and don't forget to do something for the benefit of others. So someone who does this, some are just, they are advanced. See, some devotees are just behaving very well. They follow everything, and wow, the devotee is in this form and this culture and this, and they are important things and unimportant things. They follow everything very well. Their hair is like this, and you know, they eat. They are very, 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 very particular, and they rise very early, use the Brahma Muhurta. This is all very good, some behavior. But if you ask them to spread, to help something in the spirit of compassion, they don't do anything. They just take care about their own lives. And then there are the preachers who are wild men, who don't follow any rules and regulations. And the ideal is you perform this Haridas Thakur. You simultaneously perform both duties in relationship to the holy name by your good in your personal behavior, and then your good in your preaching. No? You live what you preach. This, I think, is very important. If you look at Haridas Thakur's life, He himself chanted so many rounds the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but he also found time to preach to fallen people like Jagai and Madai. You know, we hear this, that he went with Nityananda on regular preaching rounds through Navadvip. You know? And we also hear he from Chaitanya Bhagavat that he chanted all day, but he would receive people each day, and he would share his ecstatic Krishna conscious realizations to them. He lived at the bank of the Ganga, and there was a Steilküste, we say, like a Steilküste, what is it? It's like a cliff, and then there was a cave which had been dug by a crocodile, and there was a little path which you could take from the bank of the Ganga down into the crocodile hole, and he would be there, and he would receive people and speak to them. And the Haridas Thakur did both things. He went himself very deep, and he, in a spirit of deep compassion, had time to help the those who came in contact with him, and give them. And this is, you know, this shows the character of a saintly person. The character of a saintly person is like this. He feels happiness when he can see that he can serve others and make them happy. A demoniac person feels his happiness when he is living on the expense of others' happiness. When they, you know, he's disturbed by their successes. Oh, I'm better than them. But a good saintly person wants that others move forward, and therefore they are doing something in a compassionate spirit to bring them to spiritual life. My dear devotees who watch this, make a plan, please, for tomorrow. Today the day has gone. And we ended in a very nice way by hearing about Haridas Thakur. But make a plan tomorrow how you can be of service, of benefit to others. It will really give your day a wonderful quality. Avoid the mistake of self-absorption, which kills you. It's like a strudel, and often with a downward leading spiral, because we are in the age of Kali. We are all in danger. The best families, all of a sudden something unexpected can happen. But this is the influence which is surrounding us. It is good. So, but why this question might... Okay, so he is an ideal example, and therefore he is Namacharya. But there is another secret reason why he is the foremost teacher in Mahaprabhu's movement. He is showing that bhakti is beyond all categories. By the Vedic civilization or the culture in which he lived, he was an enemy to society. He was, you know, belonged to a different faith group. But still, he had bhakti, and that made him at once transcendental. There are many examples in the scriptures. I want to tell you two. Prahlad Maharaj is known as one of the greatest devotees, but he was born in the family of a demon. Hanuman is a monkey, but he's the greatest devotee because he had bhakti to Lord Ram. He showed that once when he gave people a glimpse into his heart, and they all could see there were only Sita and Ram, where normal people have their four heads, four heart chambers, you know. Haridas Thakur was so saintly that devatas came down and wanted to touch him shyly. And Mother Ganga went over her banks embankment, just to embrace Haridas and hope that he would immerse his body in her waters. Even my dear devotees, Haridas Thakur is so powerful, even if one sees a person who has taken shelter in Haridas, one is delivered from material existence. When I met Kanupriya, when she was young and the world was young, we talked about one amazing German healer called Bruno Göring. We discussed about Bruno Göring, I still remember. Bruno Göring was extremely powerful. He would sometimes go on his balcony, neck would swell when he would have a lot of healing energy, and then he would heal people, sometimes 50,000. 50,000, is it? Do I remember correct? 30,000. Yeah, 30,000. 30,000 at once. They were carried with, on stretchers to an open field, and he would come out. He was a very God-conscious healer, and he would do his Bruno Göring thing, and then they would leave their crutches, and there were spontan Heilungen, but apparently there are documents which showed that many of those who were healed kept their healing and they were healed for life. And then it was understood, there's a whole movement about him, this healer, that people who meditate about his picture and they just remember him, although he has died long ago, they also have this healing shakti in some way, for themselves and for others. So even if you someone who has a contact with someone who is powerful in something, he feels the effect. So when you have someone who takes shelter in Haridas Thakur, if you just see him, maybe it's a devotee who has a little deity of Haridas, or maybe it's a devotee who chants the pranam mantra to Haridas before he chants his mantra. You will feel some of the shakti which emanates from Haridas Thakur, and that means you are delivered from your material existence. Wow! This is something. Haridas Thakur is so powerful. Even over the time, he can give us his shakti, his shelter. This is, therefore, all the, and there is this, so he wants to prove that bhakti is beyond all categories, and he also wants to show that the yuga dharma of chanting the holy names is accessible to all, that is, everyone, no matter in what family he's born, what disqualifications he has, what problems he carries. If he takes shelter in the yuga dharma of chanting the holy name, then at that time it is very, very, very much guaranteed that he can transcend his material existence. So therefore, Haridas Thakur, the most unlikely person which a pure Brahmana would choose as the acharya of his the process he has come to give. Therefore, Haridas Thakur was taken as a Namachari. He had an ideal conduct. He behaved well, and he was also full of compassion and shared Krishna consciousness with others. He showed that bhakti is beyond all categories, all right and wrong, and that he showed by his example that the yuga dharma is accessible to one and all. Now the way the Lord established Haridas Thakur's unique position is a very interesting way, which you have to know in order to know the mind of God, of the Lord. The Lord subjected him to severe tests through which his ideal behavior would be demonstrated to the world. In the Bhagavatam there is an explanation by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who says that a rich man wants to sometimes show the quality of his gold by heating it and melting it. And then if it's very good gold, you will see a reddish glimmer, a reddish shine from it. And this way he will demonstrate to the world, look at this gold, it is wonderful. In the same way, Krishna sometimes subjects his great devotees to fire tests. And the example of the gopis is given. Krishna left them in Vrindavan, went to the town of Mathura, and in the separation, the way the gopis conducted their spiritual life, it was so exemplary that Uddhava, the great Kshatriya, wanted to become their servant and wanted to just become a speck of dust. Because they didn't stop loving Krishna when they were in the separation, but they loved him more. In the same way, Haridas Thakur's exalted qualities came really out when he was tested. I talked with His Holiness Indradyumna Maharaj about this, these tests of the Lord, and he told me something which had transpired between him and Srila Prabhupada. He had gone out for Harinam Sankirtan every day in Paris, as far as I remember. And once Prabhupada visited Paris, and he, on that day, Indradyumna Maharaj drove with his van and his crew a long time, but they ran out of petrol on the autobahn. And after a long ordeal, they somehow, you know, by walking with a canister, getting a little petrol, filling it up, driving, and so on. They got a gas station, but when they left the gas station, the tire, it was a flat tire. And finally, they reached Paris Center, but when they wanted to start their kirtan, it started to rain like anything. So when it became a little less, they thought we are here for kirtan, so we should do something. They did kirtan, but then in the midst of the kirtan came a French lady. She stretched out. She stood right before Indradyumna Maharaj with his mridanga, stretched out her tongue like Kali, and closed her ears like this. Now, how will you do kirtan if you have someone follow? I don't even want to do it, you know, follow you and standing like this before you. It's a serious thing. So, Indradyumna Maharaj came back a little bit. I don't know how long I can do it. And to his surprise, Prabhupada called him up in his room. And he said, "So how was your Sankirtan day?" And Indradyumna Maharaj thought, "Well, I better tell the truth, you know." And he lamented, but it was so difficult. At first, no gas. Then, flat tire. Then the rain. And then this impossible person who just wanted to disturb the kirtan. at this moment, Prabhupada was taking his fist like this on the table and said, "Who told you that sharing Krishna consciousness is easy? Do you know the difficulties I have undergone? Heart attacks and so on." But this is what Krishna does with his devotees. When he wants to give them responsibility, when he wants to make them exalted, he gives them tests. And a devotee, a good devotee, goes through the tests, whereas a devotee who's still very much in the process of maturation runs away from the test and thinks this is too much. It is said in European poesy, the crown of the king has a heavy weight. In other words, there is a little price to pay. And maybe the most heavy price is that in the process of spreading something good in this world, the obstacles will come, and of all the obstacles, those who act as our enemies, who act to hurt us, who want to discourage us, is maybe the most heavy test which the Lord gives us. Therefore it is also said, the destiny of kings is to have enemies. Now this heavy test came when Haridas Thakur, best devotee, chanter, preacher, was brought in chains before the Muslim king for judgment. It is a known story, but I want to tell the unknown parts of it, because I feel, my dear devotees, if you want to become strong in the spiritual life, you also have to stand up in the face of tests and not run away and not allow yourself to be discouraged. You have to understand this could be something which is meant for my growth. So, and what I think, the many tests which we go, the difficult obstacles which we have to pass in our lives, they should bring about one thought in us. I will for sure have to face one day my final test. That's when I'm lying on my deathbed and everything will be taken away from me. How focused is my consciousness then? You can practice this in the times of need and the times of the small tests. So when Haridas was brought before the Muslim king, the king asked Haridas, "Please stop your chanting. Follow the natural path that is adopt what you should follow, the religion of your birth. Say the Kalma." Now the Kalma is the Glaubensbekenntnis, the credo, what you say, you know, it is one of the five pillars of Islam, and I want you to know first of all what the Kalma is, and then the other five pillars, because it is very important to understand what transpires here. If you want to have be a good person in the Islam, you have to rest your life on five pillars. One is the Kalma, you know, where you witness or say you believe. The first is, there is no other God than God. The second is Muhammad is the messenger of God. This is the first pillar. The next pillar is five times a day you have to say a prayer in the direction of Mecca. The prayer goes, God is great, glory to my Lord. God hears that person who worships him. Our Lord, all glories to you. My Lord, forgive me. And then you say something for a prayer to for the Muhammad. God bless him, and he may give him salvation. And then you say something for all the Muslims. Peace be with all of you. Wonderful. The third is zakat. Whatever you earn, give some part to others and the poor. No, it's a charity. You are obliged to do charity. Wonderful. The fourth pillar is song. You need to fast in doing 1 month, which starts with Ramadan. And the fifth is the Hajj. Do a sacred pilgrimage to Mecca. Wonderful pillars. You should live in your belief. You should every day renew it in your faith. You should pray every day 5 times. It's distributed over the day. You should be charitable, have some compassion for others. Then relieve yourself of material attachments by fasting at least for 1 month. It's not it's a possible fast. In other words, you fast until the sun goes down, then you can have some soup and something which is giving you strength. And then leave everything from time to time and go to the holy place. It will reinforce your belief in God. Wonderful things, no? So the king said to Haridas, this is, stop your chanting and do this kalma. But Haridas Thakur reacted in a very interesting way. He laughed. Not spurtish, not derisively, but he said, how wonderful is the illusory energy of the Lord. Listen, king, the supreme Lord of all is one. The Hindus call him Krishna, the Muslims call him Allah, but he is the same. No difference. The Lord sits in the heart of everyone and induces everyone to worship him in a particular way. This I find very important for devotees also. He accepts the devotion of everyone, bhava grahi janardana. But if anyone is envious towards any one of his children, he becomes hurt in his heart. So I feel this is very important also for us, not in an interreligious context, that the Supreme Lord is in Hinduism, Christianity, and Islam, and the natural religions, Naturreligion, he's one. And he inspires everyone to take up a certain form of worship. But it is also very important amongst devotees. He inspires someone to focus on kirtan more. He inspires another devotee to focus more on archana, on worshipping him in his deity form. He inspires another devotee to worship him through reading. And we should not judge. Then the Lord is unhappy with us, because he loves each one of his children and accepts them how they come. I think this is so important that I want to sing a song to you on this subject. Kena koro dvesha videshi jana bhajan bhajane ralinganana nana desha nana jan. Why do you continue to hate sings Bhaktivinoda. The way the Lord is worshipped by people of other lands. There is a number of authentic ways to worship God according to the customs of various people living in different countries. They have the custom, they do it this way, that way. Then he sings, Keho mukti kache bhaje, Keho hati gadadi puje, Keho vanayani mudi tak brahma aradhan. Some people worship the Lord in a more untidy or careless manner. Some worship him by bending down on their knees. Still others close their eyes while worshipping his impersonal Brahman aspect. Why do you continue to hate the way the Lord is worshipped? Some people take on different yoga postures. Some immerse themselves in the congregational chanting of the Lord's holy names. That's us. But all of them worship that one and only supreme treasure, Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore, you should all reflect a mood of brotherhood and live together in transcendental friendship. Always practice bhakti to Lord Hari, whether in situations of life or in death. Very clear. Very wonderful. So Haridas comes from this background, this belief. He says to the king, why do you make a difference? This is only the influence of the illusory energy. And I think it is here where we find the root of narrow-mindedness. Narrow-mindedness is when you see only the externals of someone's behavior and make distinctions and judgments. Krishna is not like this. He takes the bhava, the mood behind it. The bhava grahi janarana is his name. And to become a mature devotee and stop being a kanishta, a devotee has to see the inner mood behind someone. What is his intention? What does he want to express? What is driving him? And when you go to this, you will soon come to forgive someone who is different from you. But the king could not understand. He was in a different mindset. He asked the Qazi, what should we do with this rascal? You will find this always. People who cannot understand this vision of looking towards the intent and who only look towards the external things, they become highly incensed and excited and agitated. And the Qazi said, flog him, whip him on 22 marketplaces. Then everyone will see what happens if someone leaves his natural religion and joins the Hinduism. Now before this, Haridas, and here I want to come to the end, was brought in chains to the prison. Now in this prison, there were many good people who had been persecuted by the religion and who had been put there. And they understood that this great Mahatma Haridas was coming into the prison, and their desire was a desire which all of us should have. They wanted the blessings of the great soul. Do you know that the power of blessings is much stronger than the power of your own endeavors? The secret of advancement in Krishna consciousness is not your own endeavors. The secret is the blessings of great souls who become pleased with your activities and who shower you with their well wishes. And in this way, doors are opening which have been closed for you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Never turn away from great souls, because then you cannot receive what they have come to give you. So the prisoners thought, there's Mahatma Haridas, if he comes into this prison, we will beg for his blessings. they said, please bless us, please bless us. And Haridas answered, may you stay how you are at present. Oh no! They said, are you condemning us to stay in this prison with this bad food and all the rats and all the diseases and death until we also die? And Haridas then smiled and said, you did not understand my blessings. I'm saying at the present moment, because there are no distractions in your life, your minds are fixed on Krishna. When you move out of prison, you will be distracted again by the material energy. Therefore, I wanted to say, remain always in this mood where your mind is focused on Krishna. May I ask you, how often do you think of Krishna in the day? One time, two times? Is he maybe always there in the background? Would it maybe be better for you to read something or hear something directly about Krishna every day? Could that help you? Please think about this question. Haridas Thakur's blessings is, may you remain as you are in present. Because we have there's a saying, when there is an emergency, we all turn to God. They say in Germany, im Schützengraben gibt es keinen Atheisten. In the war drench, the Graben nochmal? Trenches. In the war trenches, there are no atheists. Everyone goes, oh, if you let this go, pass me. Oh, if you let me live, I will give my life to you, 100%. So, unfortunately, we are so neophyte that certain difficult situations make us think of Krishna. So he said, may you stay like this. And then he laughed, don't worry, in two or three days you will be released from prison. That is nothing. And he gave them also this blessing. So, yeah, my dear devotees, this is Haridas Thakur, someone who is solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness and who blesses people just by remembering him and so on. Haridas Thakur was later flogged, but he stayed in his thoughts fixed on Krishna. He remained with Krishna always. He did not even feel the whips, the whip lashes, although his body was cut. He didn't feel. He was later, Lord Chaitanya told him later, that was because I accepted these beatings on my back. You had prayed, these people don't know what they're doing, please forgive them. And therefore, I had decided to descend from Vaikuntha with my discus and cut them to pieces, but you had prayed for them. I couldn't do anything because I'm bound by my devotees. Therefore, I took the beatings on my own back. And then Lord Chaitanya turned around, showed his beautiful golden back, and it was bleeding. There were marks of the beating all over. The Lord protects his devotees always and in all ways if they And just do this one thing. Turn to him. And so on. In the scriptures it is said that one should follow the easy path of the Mahatmas of the past. And one example is Haridas Thakur. So I think, this is an easy path? What is a difficult path then? isn't it? So why does Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one should follow the easy path of the Mahatmas? Why does he say this? What is in his mind when he says it? It's a good question, isn't it? Well, we always know that there is a difference between imitating, that is anusharan, and anukaran, that means following the example. And if you want to follow someone and not imitate him, you have to isolate what are the principles of his life. These principles are always true, right? And they are true for everyone. So here are three principles which Bhaktivinoda Thakur isolates, which we must follow. I really hope I get them together. Yes, the first has appeared. Determination. Never give up, Muniraj. Always pick yourself up and move on and on and on. Determination on your part. Boop, the next has landed. You should always chant the holy name in good times, in bad times, while eating, while sleeping, while suffering from others, while being happy, while being distressed. That should never leave you, because it's a yoga dharma. That's how you stay in contact with the Lord. It's so easy. Should always chant incessantly. Our dream should be to always have the holy name somewhere in our mind, even if we talk. That's a long way, but that's the example of Haridas Thakur. And the third, now, this moment I have no idea. I need to just have an inspiration. Ha! It came. And I'm not speculating, you can read it in Bhakti Alokya. Compassion for others. Mahaprabhu's religion is very simple, but you have to get out of the greatest disease of Western life, self-absorption. Only thinking of yourself, your own little world, which seems to be interesting only for one person in the universe, that's you. it's not. We laugh about others' small little world. Do you know that we have the same small little world, only Allah, me personally, you know? Not so important. Isn't it? We think of others. Not so significant, but my world is very significant. Compassion for others helps us to get out of this little mental prison. Yeah, this is what I wanted to say about Haridas Thakur. Great, great example. Acharya, dearest devotee, dear devotee. Don't think we can say dearest. The Lord loves all his devotees. Who has given us such a hope, who has given us the holy name. And I want to encourage you. You have now listened to another lecture in the Gaura Lila evening. Think what principles you can draw out of this wonderful example and follow his example, and your life will be sublime. I wanted to conclude
fear that I will go over the time. But no, we'll be perfectly in time. I wanted to say that I will go on a sacred pilgrimage myself, which starts on Friday. I will go with Gaur Krishna to Ljubljana, where we have some very nice preaching events, public preaching, TV. We are in the TV. We become now famous. We are called the Gaur Krishna Bhajan Band. And we are just on our breakthrough. And then we will continue to Vrindavan, where I will first, because I was a very strenuous year, I will first do a little curing, Ayurvedic curing, and then go to Vrindavan to chant extra rounds, and then I will give two international retreats, the Govardhan retreats, and then I hope to return in one piece. Maybe December beginning of December, and be again here in the West. But I'm now thinking, as I'm going to Vrindavan, about something which I would like to give as my present to you. I have experienced in my life that Vrindavan always leads me to think about the ultimate questions in life. And because I have gone a few times to Vrindavan now, not a few times, many times, I am very eager to go to these ultimate thoughts in my service, in my life as a devotee of Krishna. And ultimate thoughts means just thinking about, this was the year now, my Lord, I'm presenting this year to you. It was my attempt to serve you in the West. It's like reporting home, you know, where the Lord is. As I'm preparing to find my glowing yes for this pilgrimage, which will make it unique, I don't just want to automatically go, I want to have an inner mission. I stumbled about something which I wish to share with you. You know, I'm a lover of poetry, amongst other things. And there's one poem which was once given to me at my birthday. It says, "My dear Lord, I was a black ant in a dark universe on a black stone, but you found me." I feel very much this is the story of all of us. We are conditioned souls in the cycle of birth and death. But somehow, Krishna in his mercy found us and touched our heart. As a disciple, I always think this credit goes entirely to my spiritual master who somehow brought Krishna into my life. And I have found, just in preparing this pilgrimage, a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he expresses what was expressed in the earlier poem, a well-known poem, I think, in poetry lovers' mind. He expressed it in the Gaudiya Vaishnav way. He said, "By the fault of my own karma, I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death.
how long must I struggle to keep from drowning? I'm near to drowning. How long can I still struggle? Swimming, I cannot find the end of this ocean. The huge ocean of birth and death has no end. Drowning, I screamed, "Someone, please, someone, save me." At that moment, you heard me and you came. I knew you could take me to the shore. The seed of hope was planted within me. Maybe you also know this from your life. Someone, something, is there someone? I know it started with me as a child when I looked into the starlit night sky over the island where I resided. Now, is there someone there? Maybe a little boy who looks at planet Earth like I look at out in the universe, but that boy cannot help me, just like I can't help me. Is there a Lord out there? I screamed, "Someone save me." At that moment you came. The seed of hope was planted within me. O merciful Lord Krishna, now you have found me. O merciful Lord, I will never leave you. O merciful Lord, now you have found Bhakti Vinod, who is worthless like a pile of ashes, and who desperately needs your mercy. I think it is this spirit which sometimes gets covered over while we are in the West. That desperate, that longing, that inspiration, that being alive. My dear devotees, you should say in your life, now a new life comes. I'm tired of wearing the strange masks which I have worn so long. I'm tired of living the life of someone else. I am now calling out for your help. Finally, I've come to your door. Please don't send me away. Then the real life comes. This is a little bit what I think when I think of Haridas Thakur, this great, great saint who is giving us an example for what bhakti means. He's determined. He calls out incessantly, means without stop, for the chanting of the holy name. And he is compassionate to others. If you can follow this example, then your Gaura Leela evening was a success. Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Thank you.
say one thing in concluding. When Indrajumna Maharaj in that room in Paris was about to leave, Prabhupada said, one thing more. What did you do with that lady who stood before the kirtan with her tongue outstretched and her fingers in the ear? Indrajumna Maharaj says, nothing. What could we do? And then Prabhupada said, you should have come from behind very softly and have pulled the fingers out of the ear, because it's good for her if she chants the holy name. And you should have said to her, please chant. So you can see that mindset of trying to do good for others is very important point of Haridas Thakur's glorious example. And we as a, you know, he wanted to make a principle clear, you know, think of the good of others. Hare Krishna. Yes, we have a few more minutes. Does any one of you have a question they want to ask? I see Prema Mayurati, yes?
I would like to know the name of the song from Bhaktivinoda Thakura. As the first one with this, we shall not be the last people who worship in different
ways. Yeah, that one you would like to know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then another question is if this pranam of Haridas Thakur is known.
Let me first answer that. It is called by the first line, Keno Arkoro Dvesha. I would recommend you, because it's from, I think, from Gitavali. Mm-hmm. If you wish, I could give you my book now. And you can make a photocopy of it. That will be most easy for you to find. And the pranam mantra of Haridas, there are a few which I have written in my prayer. There's a prayer book which I have published, which accompanies those who chant, who want to go deeper in chanting. You can have this prayer book. You can ask the known sources for it. What I do is just I say Jaya Jaya Haridas Haridas Thakur. I just say his name and pay my obeisances, because really in obtaining blessing, which is your whole I think idea why you wish to know this, it's good to connect with one's heart with the saint of whom you wish to obtain blessings. Think about him. They are beautiful prayers. I encourage you to get this prayer book. It's a good book in good times and in times when you want to also go deeper in your sadhana. Yeah. Yes, we have time. Yeah, I am so grateful. I can't believe that.
You mentioned two qualities, like Haridas Thakur, he was a perfect example, but a perfect preacher. Can we, or is there a division of primary quality and secondary quality, like the preaching should go first and we develop all the good qualities, is it vice versa?
Yeah.
Because I also listened today to a talk from a very nice devotee, but former member of our society,
mm-hmm.
and he called himself a missionar, also with double R, full. He was a missionar.
Yeah, missionar, yes.
Because he was also always thinking like, this person is eating meat and this person is smoking. And I think he mentioned even Bruno Gröning, he was a smoker, yeah. As far as it is true. So, but now this kind of differentiation, it doesn't make anymore. So many people, many devotees feel, sure, I should preach, but if I preach, I'm a missionar because I'm too qualified to preach anything.
I want to say two things. But because we are on the internet space, I want to be very clear. I have not made advertisement for Bruno Gröning. I gave an example that in this world we see people who are connected with someone, they also get some energy. So if you connect with Haridas Thakur, you can actually also get some energy. I need to make it clear because I'm a public figure and I've watched carefully by devotees who sometimes do not listen very intently to everything, so maybe good to have that. About preaching. You started your question by saying, by quoting this verse from Sanatana Goswami, that his behavior was very good, but his sharing was also good. There is amongst all the qualities which a devotee can develop one quality from which all other good qualities will come. And you will see that this is also very relevant to someone who wants to preach and not be that type of person that which the devotees correctly objects to. That quality from which all other qualities derive their life and their meaning and their essential quality is taking shelter in Krishna. Krishna Sharana. This is discussed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who mentions 24 qualities of a devotee, and there's this one, Krishna Sharana, which gives sense and meaning to all other qualities. So a devotee who has taken shelter in Krishna, when such a devotee preaches, it looks different from a devotee who is just doing this to show his strength in argument, he may have a hateful mentality, oh, everyone is nonsense, and so on. A devotee who has taken shelter in Krishna will be able to preach from that best place from where true benefit comes, that is compassion to other beings. I must say in my own, I was just now in a Sankirtan meeting in Russia where I made this point, which was very much appreciated by the Sankirtan devotees, that if you distribute your books with a fanatical outside, that everyone is nonsense and we must turn their mind around and so on, it's not really the right attitude. You must come from the attitude that these are souls, they belong to Krishna. I should help them in their growth and so on. A compassionate person, Shyama Chandra, will be emphatic, mitfühlend, and he will be able to understand what is good for someone at which state and so on. If he's just and so on. So this quality, sometimes I know our preaching was dominated by things like who can do the most books, you know, and all kinds of things were done. We don't even wish to give examples, but they are really signs of immaturity. I could give some examples. Just as a male competition spirit, you know, like. No, it's a compassionate thing. And then you will also have the strength to go on even when there are obstacles. This is what I found out. If I base my preaching on this value of compassion, then people are really impressed and take it. And I found I don't, wie man das sagt, hau ich nicht mehr die Philosophie um die Ohren. Nicht? I don't use the philosophy as almost a stick to chastise anyone. And although sometimes chastisement may be necessary to help someone to see the difference between wrong and right. But if you want it to be effective, it must be on the basis of compassion. That's the Mahaprabhu's philosophy can always be reduced to simple principles. Nama Ruchi, Vaishnav Seva and Jiva Daya, compassion to others. That is so important. And Krishna. I just read an article by some other tradition. I mean, I had to comment on this, and it said when people are in prison, the best welfare work for them is to help them get out. So we are imprisoned in the material world, and to help them leave the miserable condition of material existence is the best welfare work. But it must be done with a spirit of compassion. Otherwise, good things can turn into bad things, and they are not useful for the people. They are not; they don't benefit. My dear everyone, those who are here and those who are in the camera, I have been requested to end on time because we have children here who need to go to school tomorrow, and we should end on time, and I want to respect this. So I thank all of you very much. I see you at the next Gaura Lila evening, which will be sometimes in December again. If you want to have association, please all come to Vrindavan to the Govardhan retreat. There is still a place at the valley of Giriraj. Hare Krishna.